God, we just thank you for a fresh anointing. We thank you for that waterfall that you showed her that's going in and through. And we thank you for that conduit, that she would be that conduit this morning, and that you would speak through her and move through her in mighty ways. We thank you for a fresh anointing. Amen.
I'm excited for the word this morning. Are you excited for the word? It's really a very simplistic word, but if you actually grab hold of it, it's actually life-changing. And this is the heart of the Father this morning for you, that you would take hold of this truth. And we've already been announced throughout the service his heart for us. So today's message is coming out of the 10th chapter of John. And the context of it is that he's talking about being the good shepherd, and that he takes care of his sheep, and that his sheep know him and hear his voice. And then it comes to verse 10. And in verse 10, Jesus, he makes a declaration that's very fascinating. It actually presents two characters, opposites of one another, each with an ability to play a role in your life, to make a difference, to change how you think. One has so much potential, and the other not so much, not so much at all. John 10:10 says this: the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then this powerful promise, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's a promise. That's a powerful promise. And that those two declarations of truth, the first is a warning and the second is a promise. One is a giver and one is a taker. Can you see that? And Jesus clearly wants you to understand the reality of what his purpose is for you in your life. His purpose for you is to walk in abundant life. And even this morning it was challenged, are you walking victorious? Was that not even asked this morning already? And God is wanting his church to walk in abundant life, to walk in victory, to walk in his promise. You know, it's really easy to quote that verse. How many times have you heard it? I mean, people say it all the time. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life. But they're more than just words. There's something extremely powerful represented inside of that. And you have to consider the depth of the truth as it's unveiled in your life. Because when you think about it, Jesus said in John 8:32, he said this: if you know the truth, what happens? Freedom. When you know the truth. And so he's wanting to press into John 10:10 this morning, that you can grab hold of a truth, and he wants it to be transformational. Not just words, not just thoughts, not just ideas. So let's talk about the taker first. You know, he has lots of names in the Bible. I'll bet if I ask each of you, you would have a different name besides thief. Some people call him Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning, the devil, tempter, the ruler of demons, Beelzebub, the enemy, the father of lies. How about the roaring lion, a dragon, a serpent? This one annoys me to no end. The accuser of the brethren. He likes that one. Did you know that the name Satan actually is, in the Hebrew, it actually means adversary or opponent? He's actually your opponent. He's the one that you need to stand against. And so I want to break John 10:10 down for you a little more. They're not my words. A lot of them come from a man named Rick Renner. He is a author, a missionary to Moscow. He has a church in Moscow, and he's written probably 30-some books. And He loves to take apart things, and the truth that he shows in this verse is so powerful. And so, according to these words, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything that's good in your life. Isn't that fun? He actually wants to take everything you own. He wants everything. Everything that you will allow him to steal. And the word thief comes from the Greek word klepto. Everybody heard of that word before? And it means steal, but it's a different picture than just stealing. It's a picture of abandon or a pickpocket or a thief that is so artful in his way that he steals, that the thieves, the people that he steals from don't even know that he's stolen from them. And he tells a story of in Russia, he says, you can watch them. They can slip into your pocket and out of your pocket and take what they want. And you don't even know that they've been there. And I thought, what a picture of what the enemy does. He comes into our lives and he tries to come in and do damage, thinking that we won't even be aware of him being here and moving. He knows that if he does it outright, that we wouldn't put up with it. And so he's underhanded, he's conniving, he's sneaky, and he's dirty, and he plays dirty. And he hates you. And that's the truth. And he steals from people in such a deceptive way that he often accomplishes his evil goal before they even know he's stolen from them. Even aware that he's moving. And in Corinthians 11:3, 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says this, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. And just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. And so he's putting out this warning that we need to be aware that we have an adversary. And we actually need to know how he works, that we can recognize his working and put a stop to it. I don't know if you know this or not, but you have authority over the enemy. And we do not have to live under his thumb and under his rule, nor do you have to put up with his tactics. You actually have power. God has given you power and authority. And we have to realize that this thief is a taker of life. He wants you to take everything from your life and that you should be on guard. And you need to be careful. Because I don't know if you understand it, but it is so easy to cooperate with him, to actually agree with him and use our words and our actions that actually align with him rather than the kingdom. And so we have to be aware of what we're doing and how we're functioning, that we can move in the kingdom of light and not the kingdom of darkness. So when he comes in, he tries to steal your identity. He tried to take Eve's identity even back in Genesis, questioning who she was when she already had all that she needed. And he's always after your identity. So every time thoughts come into your mind that challenge who you are, it's not God. It's the enemy trying to steal from you. He tries to steal your intimacy with God by making you feel guilty and not good enough. And again, that was addressed this morning. He tries to steal your marriage. Did you know that? He's after your marriage. He wants to destroy it. He's after your church. He brings division in every way he can. He actually uses us inside the church to go after one another. He's wicked and evil, and we have to be aware of who he is and how he moves. He tries to go after your beliefs. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, and he does not want you to believe. He does everything to undermine what God speaks over you. Every time you get a prophetic word, you need to grab hold of it. You need to rehearse it. You need to put it into the depth of your heart, because that's what God's heart is for you. And the enemy will come up and say, you don't measure up, you can't. It's not possible. You could never do that. You're not qualified. There's no way. He wants to steal your peace. Anybody ever have your heart all out of order? Peace is just chaos instead of peace. That's him recognize him. As soon as you recognize him, speak to him. It says that if you take a stand, he flees. And we need to do that. He's after your children. I don't know if you understand that. That's why I pray over my children and my grandchildren. Now I have a great-grandchild. I have to put something in there. I pray over them that Lord would cancel every assignment that the enemy has to go after them. And that their hearts will recognize the voice of their father. He's after your jobs. He's after your finances. Imagine that one. He likes to go after your inheritances. He loves to go after your health. It's amazing. Yesterday I was here praying, and I had such a pain running from my hip down in my leg. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is not kingdom. And I just stand right now and I say, you have to be gone in the name of Jesus. I'm not putting up with it. You see, we have to take our position of who we are in Jesus Christ and what he paid for. And we have to stand against him who is the taker, the enemy of our soul. He actually goes after our babies. You know, all our future scientists and musicians and pastors and evangelists, he goes after to kill our babies. And then he goes after our children's gender. Have you seen that happen? That's the enemy. He's working his way every way he can. You see, he's not satisfied with who he is. He wants everything and to destroy everything that you are. And he goes after your dreams. He makes you think they're ridiculous and that there's no possibility that it could ever come to pass. He goes after your prophetic words and makes you doubt the very word that God speaks to you with such authority. It's as well as done. When God speaks, he does not lie. He cannot lie. It's against his nature. And when he speaks a word, that's what's truth. And if we would recognize that and actually grab hold of that and make that our declaration and make that a part of who we are, he could not have power in our lives. He goes after your destiny. And he goes after all the promises in God's word that are meant for you to hold on to and live with. His very nature is to steal, and Jesus has warned us about him. So many times things happen in life and we just think, oh, this is just life. This is what happens. It is what it is. Ever heard that? It is what it is. How about if we took a stand and say, no, it isn't what it is. This is not kingdom. How does it measure to the kingdom? I won't allow this in my life. I stand against the power of darkness. That's our heart. And then God is wanting you as a people to be that way, to take a stand. That's his heart. So many times we just sit back and do nothing. We just let him run over us. Let him have his way. We don't understand who we are and what he's given us. I love all the ways that the Lord has backed up what he's given, that abundant life. He's given you so many promises. Look at Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. He says, a final word, he says this. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Do you say that over yourself? I am strong in the Lord and I walk in his mighty power because the Holy Spirit is in me. It's not about me, it's about him. And he says, put on God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. You see, he already gave you what you need to stand against the enemy, the taker, the one that wants to steal from you. But the thief doesn't just come to steal. He also comes to kill. And when you read that verse, I always thought, kill, you know, make them dead. I just thought that's what it was. It's actually the word, and I don't know how you say it, T-H-U-O. I put it up there. It's a Greek word. And it actually means, interesting, sacrifice. And the idea or the thought is to surrender or to give up something that's precious and dear to you. That's what he's after. Those things that are precious and dear to you. Because John uses this word to describe the work of the thief. He's telling us that the thief will try to convince us that we need to sacrifice or give up everything he hasn't already taken. He will try cunningly to convince you to give up all you possess in love. Your dreams, your hopes, your future. You just lay down and let it happen. No, church, God is here this morning encouraging you in who he is and what he wants you to be. And then Jesus went on to say that the thief also comes to destroy. And that is also a Greek word, and I have it up on the screen. And it means, it carries this idea of something that is ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated, and destroyed. That's a whole lot of hate. And the good news is that Jesus never left you without a solution. Our Papa God is so good and has such amazing plans. Do you know what he did? He sent Jesus. And Jesus stripped the enemy of his power. Look at John 1:3-8. I'm just going to read B. It says, For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. Did you hear that, church? For this purpose, he was manifest that he would destroy what? What is he going to destroy? The works of the devil. Church, Jesus came and he destroyed the works of the devil. That was his purpose of coming. Colossians 2 tells us that he disarmed principalities and powers. He actually made a public spectacle of them. Oh, he triumphed over them. Do you realize that he stripped him of his power? And the only power the enemy has is that which you give him. That's a sobering thought. That the only power he has is that which we give him. You see, it's so easy to open the door to him with our words. You ever find your words agreeing with the kingdom of darkness? It's just always like this. We just entertain on the wrong, in the dark, instead of in the light. And we have to take every thought captive. Church, we have to learn to control where our mind goes and then where our mouth goes. Guard your mouths. In them has life. Your words have life. And you must guard how you see things from here and how you speak about them. If it doesn't line up with the kingdom, how about this? Don't think it or say it. Oh, it would change how we move and live if we would do that. See, the devil doesn't want you to understand that you can resist him. He doesn't want you to know that you have authority over him. Neither does he want you to believe that he is real. They did a survey, and they say that 62% of people believe that Satan is not a living being, that he doesn't actually exist, that he's only a symbol of evil. That's a sad thought. When we have an opponent, an adversary that's alive and well working on the earth, and the church is meant to keep him in his place. Are you doing that? Are you doing it in your life? Are you doing it in your workplace? Are you doing it in your church and your family? Are you taking aggressively authority over that which the enemy is trying to do in your life? Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, stay alert. So I say that to you, church. Stay alert. Watch out. You actually have to have your eyes open looking if you're going to watch out. If you're going to be on guard, you have to be awake enough to be aware of what is going to come. Because the great enemy, the devil, it says he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And then it says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Believe what God says about you. Believe what God has done, how he's stripped him of authority, how he's given you authority. Are you on high alert? Do you watch out for the one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy? is the word of God in your mouth powerful against the taker? Is it? Be honest. Are you aggressively doing your job? The church is meant to be the guard line. We need to get busy doing what we're called to do. James 4 says this, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Did you know that? If you resist him, he'll flee. Luke 10, 19 tells us this. Jesus is speaking. He says, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You don't need any other verse than that to stand and believe, because he has given you all authority over the enemy. He has done that, church. I love, one of the great examples to me would be young David when he stood against the enemy. We all know the David and Goliath story. We're aware of that. His story is an illustration of victory over the devil. You see, David was young and he seemed insignificant, like a boy. And yet he defeats a giant, Goliath. Goliath represents the enemy. And he didn't use traditional weapons, but he used faith with God, and he used powerful words of declaration. I believe he said this, this day, the Lord is going to take you down, and he's going to take your, I'm going to take your head off, and you're going to be over and done with. He declared over victory over the enemy, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, is declaring victory over the enemy. He wants us to use our mouths. We carry the ability for him to be stopped because Jesus destroyed the power that he had over us. But John 10:10 doesn't end with it just about the taker. It ends with a second powerful truth, and he says, oh, but I have come that you might have life. Not just life, not boring, dull, miserable life. He doesn't say that. He doesn't even just say life. What does he say? He says, and that they may have it more, what? Abundantly. And so, that they may have, that's from that Greek, that means to continuously possess. So he wants you to walk in an awareness that you always possess that abundant life, that it's always present, that he doesn't leave. His provision for you, that abundance is there, ready for you. And that life, that word life that Jesus offers is Zoe. And it is a life that is filled with vitality. Right now, if I said on a scale 1 to 10, are you living in vitality? How many would say 10? Nobody? Yet he's the one that provided that for us, correct? Did he not say, I came that you might have life and life abundantly? And so that word abundant is another Greek word. And it means to be above, beyond what is regular, extraordinary, or even exceedingly. It's not just abundant. It's actually superabundance. Do we even know what superabundance is? Do we walk in that which was provided for us? What a comparison. The giver is offering us a gift of superabundance. What I love the most is that it's the very heart of the Father. He's a giver that loves to give good gifts. Do you know that back in Genesis, way back in Genesis chapter 17, he's talking with Abraham, and he gives Abraham his name. He declares who he is to Abraham. And that Hebrew word is El Shaddai. And it actually, what it means is the all-sufficient one who provides for all the needs. And so God wanted you to know from the beginning of history that he is El Shaddai, the God of plenty, the one that meets your needs above what you can ask or even look for? Is that where the place you live out of? If you look through the scripture, you see the abundance of the Father's heart in all that he does. And then when Jesus walked on the earth, he played it out. He multiplies the bread. It wasn't just enough to go around. How many baskets were left over? When they went out fishing, they didn't just get enough for a day. They got enough for a year's wage fish out of the water when they went fishing. You see the abundant, that super abundance that God's heart is for you. And so I just want to remind you of that abundant Zoe life, some of the things that God says about you, those abundant things that he wants you to walk in. He tells us in Ephesians 1:3, he says that he's given us every spiritual blessing. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You have no lack because he's blessed you with it. Where is it working out in your life? Are you looking for it? Are you walking in it? It tells us in Ephesians 1:11 that we actually have received an inheritance from God. Do you know what a gift and inheritance is? That's just a wow moment when you get an inheritance. And he provided an inheritance for you. You actually possess that. Wow. In Ephesians 1:17, I love it because his heart is that you might know him and know him more, that his revelation that you might know him is continuously. Did you know there's no end to understanding and knowing him? There's always more, and he's that super abundance of always expressing more to you, that you might, he longs for that intimacy, that you might really, really, really know him. It's his heart. See, I want my grandkids to know me. I want them to know how much I love them and how much I care for them and how much I believe in them. I'm like this compared to God and God's heart for you. Oh, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he wants you to know him. And he didn't leave us without power. He said, I know that they're going to need more than just they just need more, so I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he gave you the Holy Spirit that gives you the power to do the things you can't do in yourself. He makes you able. And then probably one of my very favorite promises that God gives is in Romans 8:37. And I use the New Living Translation because I like how it says it. It says that he gives us overwhelming victory. Is that where you're walking, church? An overwhelming victory? I don't see the word defeated in his kingdom at all. And yet we walk around defeated so often. And so often we live below the standard of his heart for us, how he must weep over us. He gives us overwhelming victory because of Christ who loved us. And then in 2 Peter 1:3, it says that he gives you everything you need for life and godliness. That's a lot. Everything you need for life and godliness. And then he covers us with his amazing love. In 1 John 3:1, it says, oh, what manner of love the Father has for those that he calls us children of God. It's just amazing, his love for us. Do you see his provision over and over in all areas? And then he gives us the armor of God so that we can be protected, salvation for our head, peace for our feet, the belt of truth, the word of God, that it keeps the truth in us, keeps the enemy from speaking lies to us. These are just a few of the givers he's offered to us as believers, that giver of life. And he told us he wants us to live abundantly. And then he provides us with everything we could possibly need, his power and his promise, in order for that truth to be a reality in our lives. So this morning I'm asking you, how do you live? See, his truth demands that we choose the style of life we want. maybe you're saying, but you don't understand. You don't know how difficult it is. Oh, I do. Trust me. I do. I've been there. I've been through very difficult seasons. And it is a challenge to choose. But church, he's given us the ability and the authority that we actually can choose. We can choose, church. We can choose. It is a challenge to take truth into our hearts and transform it from our heart into our minds so that we can both see ourselves and then take authority for the gift that's offered us. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is, but I'm telling you, it's so worth it. Isn't victory good? Isn't victory good? That's what we're supposed to be in. Victory. Yes. Superabundance. If we embrace this powerful gift fully without restraint, and we choose to believe and walk it out, how might our lives look different? And his promise is available to you. I remind you, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came that you might have life and have it superabundantly. I want to conclude with a story I read. I'm just going to tell it briefly. There was a man who lived in absolute poverty. He actually went through trash cans at night to find food to eat. And he lived in a shack. And he had nothing. And when the man died, they went into his house. And in his mattress, he had $1 million. And that was all available to him. It was his. And yet, out of fear of not having enough and fear of so many things, he stuffed it away and he lived like a pauper. And I feel like it's a picture of us as the church. God has given us so much. It's all there. It's all available. It's all ready and ripe for us as the church. And so often we just get scraps out of the trash can and live so below the standard that God has for us. And God is challenging us today to change our thinking. I remind you that in Proverbs it says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Change your thinking about who you are. You have authority over the enemy, and you are possess abundant, superabundant life because of our Papa God. Is God not so good? So good. Church, would you stand with me for a moment? I really challenge you to consider the style of life you live. Maybe you need to draw a line in the sand and say, no more. I'm going to live in the truth. I'm going to let the word of God and the promises of God and the prophetic words of God and the destiny of God over my life be where I head and what I think about and what I do. Does that seem like a good plan? It's time to say no to the devil. It's time to say no, church. It's time to say no. So, Papa, my most beautiful Papa, you told me that you would speak through me and touch hearts and bring transformation. So I give you what I spoke today, and I thank you that you will seal in the hearts and minds of these people, and that they would not live like the man with the mattress, but they would live in the superabundance that Jesus Christ paid for them. And I just thank you for the power of your hand moving, reminding them, bringing to their hearts those truths of your word. And I thank you. And I thank you. And I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Papa. I just ask you, Father,
that you would forgive us for neglecting the gifts that you so powerfully present to us. That from this day forward, we would choose to walk in the fullness of what you've provided and walk in the goodness of your hand and see the truth, and that we would be free. We would be free. 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 Thank you, Lord. There'll be a team of people up front to pray over you if you want prayer this morning.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to live in super abundance. Amen. Amen. Say it with me. I'm going to live in super abundance. That doesn't really sound very positive, you know, promising. I think you ought to say it loud. I really live in super abundance. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hand in your heart this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you shalom in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go in his grace.